Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to Chemist Corner for Monday, December 8th, 2014. Hello and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program where we talk about cosmetic science, formulation, and anything else that is relevant to cosmetic chemists. On today's show, we have an interview with two gentlemen from Botanico. They will be telling us about a new technology for creating natural emulsions. Finding natural emulsifiers is one of the most difficult things that cosmetic formulators have to do. The plant world just does not create a lot of emulsions. Since this is going to be more of a natural technology, today we're going to do a whole natural formulating theme. We've been working hard on developing our next cosmetic science course about formulating natural cosmetics, which is due sometime at the end of January. So the topic is, you know, the top of my mind here. So let's take a look at some science stories in the news. Is bacteria the next big thing in natural cosmetic ingredients? So here's a novel idea in cosmetic ingredients, bacteria. According to this report, scientists have found that they could improve the condition of skin by topically applying a bacteria that could metabolize ammonia. In the study, they took an ammonia-oxidizing bacteria, which is Nitrosomus eutropha. Boy, those bacteria always have these crazy Latin names. Anyway, it's commonly found in soil, and what they did was they created a suspension for application to the skin. They also created a placebo suspension and then got two groups of people to apply either product to their face and scalp for 3 weeks. The test group reported an improvement in their skin condition while the control group didn't. While this is a pretty interesting approach, that is putting bacteria on your skin instead of skin lotions, it suggests that there's more research is worthwhile. I'm a bit skeptical of the results, or even this approach, really. First, it doesn't seem like there were any statistically significant improvements. Next, the results were all self-reported. So, I mean, why wasn't a dermatologist involved in evaluating the participants? I don't know. Perhaps that would be their next step, though. Anyways, this is an innovative approach to solving cosmetic problems. Could you get rid of acne by applying good microbes to kill off the bad microbes? And then what other problems could be solved by the application of good microbes? Perhaps a living deodorant, or mouthwash with microbes that kill off plaque-causing bacteria. The possibilities seem kind of endless. On the other hand, this would be a significant formulation challenge. You know, how would you keep the microbial culture alive? They need special conditions. And then how would you prevent contamination of the bad microbes from the good microbes? The preservatives we use right now, they kind of kill microbes indiscriminately, and some people think that that's a problem. But it is a way to make sure that you're killing the disease-causing bacteria. Anyway, this is something to think about when you're, along with other ideas for good microbes in cosmetics, but this is a new approach which, certainly would be a new natural approach to formulating cosmetics, and this may be the way that cosmetics go in the future. Speaking of natural cosmetics, I saw a story. According to the Klein Group, the worldwide sales of natural cosmetics is now about $30 billion. So this is roughly 7 or 8% of the total global market, which is estimated to be about $430 billion annually, the cosmetic industry that is. I'm actually surprised the natural market isn't bigger. I would have figured it was about 15% of the market or so, but it's not. Of course, it's difficult in how you define what is the natural's market. Since, you know, anyone can call themselves natural, it's really hard to distinguish between real natural products and what we call greenwashed natural products. Of course, there aren't true lines for the industry, and on some level, all cosmetics that are processed in any way could be considered greenwashed natural products. Some people follow the standards of EcoCert or other private standards that are out there, but there are no real government standards for cosmetics and the term natural and organic. And, you know, all cosmetics, there really aren't a lot of cosmetics that really are out there. I mean, nobody has grown a shampoo tree, for example. So it's everything on some, all cosmetics and personal care products on some levels seem, you know, processed to me. So I guess it's just a matter of when you decide that it's natural, the level of processing that's natural enough for you. Now, the natural cosmetic formulation market doesn't seem to be going away, and as a cosmetic formulator, you need to be aware of what is considered a natural cosmetic and what isn't. Now, this is not an easy answer because it depends on the different things and who you ask. Ultimately, the important definition of what is a natural cosmetic is your consumer. If your consumers think that parabens do not belong in natural cosmetics, you know, despite the fact that you can find naturally occurring parabens, then you should probably avoid formulating with them. At the end of the day, however, consumers want products that work. And this is going to trump whatever is in the bottle. I mean, you can make a nice natural cosmetic avoiding all hint of synthetics, but if the product doesn't deliver the benefits that the consumer wants, you're going to have a real hard time keeping up sales. I wanted to talk to you about natural ingredients and the effect that they're going to have on cosmetics and replacing regular ingredients. I mean, here's an interesting trend that will affect cosmetic chemists and formulators in the future. More and more natural ingredients are replacing standard cosmetic raw materials. So what will this mean? First, there's cosmetic reformulation. Cosmetic chemists will no doubt have to reformulate almost all of the products that they have created. Anything that contains a petroleum derivative will have to be reworked to contain only plant and sustainable ingredients. This might seem like a lot of trouble, but it is good news for formulators because it gives you some new opportunities to create new formulations. One of the most frustrating aspects of being a cosmetic chemist is that you make very few changes to formulas. In truth, a company doesn't want to stray too far from their existing formulations because using new raw materials creates more warehouse storage. Raw material ingredient costs will increase because you're not buying in bulk as much, and the stability and performance is less well known with new ingredients. There are forces that work against creating truly new and innovative formulations. The natural trend is also good for the raw material suppliers. See, raw material suppliers like this trend because they can more easily get chemists to start using raw materials. One of the biggest challenges raw material suppliers face is that chemists do not like to use new raw materials. The reason is that they are unproven and they're almost always more expensive and they rarely have some new great new benefit that you can't already get. But now raw material companies will be able to sell new raw materials that are more profitable. On the other hand, there are some problems with this trend towards natural ingredients. The biggest problem is that the substitution of raw materials with new ones will not likely lead to improved products. In fact, it will probably lead to products that don't work as well. It used to be that a cosmetic chemist would switch out a raw material for some performance reason. They discover that some raw material works better than their current, so they make the switch. But with this trend, cosmetic chemists are switching out raw materials for non-performance-based reasons, and often the performance of the product suffers. The naturally changed formulas just don't work as well as the standard formulas. And the main reason for that is that the standard formulas can use either natural or synthetic. It doesn't matter. There's no limitation to what they can use, and so they can just use whatever works best. But perhaps the worst aspect of this trend is that consumers will have to pay more money for formulations that do not work as well. Ultimately, I think the consumers are the losers in this trend. Although one could argue that consumers are not paying enough for their cosmetics now. They are not covering the costs that cosmetic use has on the environment, and maybe they should. So perhaps the fact that consumers pay more for better sustainable products is overall a good thing. I'm just not sure all consumers will agree with that. We have two gentlemen on our program today for an interview. Tony Aboud currently does technical sales and special products at Botanico. Tony graduated with a Bachelor's of Science and Master's of biomedical technology from both from the University of Calgary, and he joined Botanico at the company's inception in 2007. Tony is responsible for working with key strategic accounts and provides guidance for the company's customer projects. Todd Zilke is the Director of Sales and Marketing at Botanico. He has over 18 years experience in sales, marketing, and business development in the healthcare sectors. He most recently was at J&J for 14 years. Welcome to the program, Todd and Tony. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great, Perry. Thank you very much for having us join you today.
Well, thanks for joining me. Now, I first met you guys at a SEC meeting that I attended in Toronto, and you told me a little bit about this new sort of green sustainable technology for emulsions that you had, and I thought my audience would find it interesting. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about Botanico and what kind of things that you guys do up there, and you're located in Canada, right?
That's right, Perry. Yeah, Botanico is located in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. The company itself has been around for over 8 years, and the key product or brand that we produce and promote is a patented product named Hydresia. We basically purify very unique extracts from oil seeds that improve the natural authenticity and performance of products in the personal care market. So we're very much a core ingredient that provides a number of advantages. So we have a production facility and an office in Canada, and we work with customers all around the globe.
Okay, so you are global, so because this show actually turns out to be global, so if people want to get in contact with you, that they can still get product from you.
Definitely.
Well, that's great. So the one thing that really interested me about your company is you told me about this oleosome technology. Why don't you go through and explain a little bit about that and why a cosmetic formulator might find it interesting?
Yeah, thank you, Perry. The oleosome technology, or commonly known as Hydresia, the brand, is actually Mother Nature's way of storing and protecting her seed oil for germination. So when you think of a seed, whether that be a sunflower seed, a safflower seed, or even an almond nut, the oil is tightly organized within spheres called oleosomes. Mm-hmm. The oil is not in liquid form. It is actually tightly organized within these structures. And really, this is the plant's way of protecting and preserving her oil. These structures are basically 2 to 3 microns in diameter. They are a core of oil surrounded by a monolayer of phospholipid and protein. And the core inside that oil is vitamin E, which is a natural antioxidant component mm-hmm. of the oleosome that protects and preserves the oil. It so happens as well that in the membrane of these structures is an oleosin protein. That protein being both hydrophobic and hydrophilic in nature.
Okay, so it's a membrane protein then.
Correct. Yeah, okay. And that protein has very unique chemistry in that it is water loving and oil loving, so has natural emulsification abilities built in. So these oleosomes, as I said before, they're found in a number of different seeds. Botanico has developed a proprietary extraction process to isolate these spheres according to a density purification system. Mm-hmm. We do not use any solvents, any emulsifiers, or any chemicals of any kind in our processing. And in fact, we use just the benefits of oil is lighter than water to float the oleosomes away from the seed contaminants. This is done every day in our Calgary, Alberta facility, and we produce large volumes for cosmetic customers around the globe.
So the thing that you focus then on is not so much the oil, but the natural surfactant or the protein that holds that oil in the seed.
Yeah, so it basically the oil is a component of the oleosome, Perry, mm-hmm. but it is encapsulated within this oleosome structure. And that's really where the differences and the benefits are derived are from this entire structure, which happens to also include the oil.
Okay.
So a typical supplier will supply, let's say, a sunflower oil to the market. They'll physically break the oleosomes in their processing. Mm-hmm. Botanico has unique technology to harness that structure intact. And I think there's really three main words that we use to describe this technology: natural, authentic, and performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get into a little bit more to those areas in a minute. Before I move on, though, Perry, I want to focus on what crop we've decided to isolate the oleosomes from. We've picked the safflower seed as our first crop for the oleosome, and there's good reason for that. This is a non-GMO seed that we isolate and we actually receive from North America. It has no pesticides, has very low water requirements, and is a very nice, cosmetically elegant oil that we can harness this technology in. So we specifically started with safflower as the first crop for oleosomes.
Well, it's interesting that safflower oil is not one that is commonly found in cosmetics. Do you know, like, what is the fatty acid distribution of that oil as compared to, say, like, sunflower seed oil or maybe coconut oil?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it is used to some extent as a carrier oil.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a very low allergenic property to it, so it's very safe. The seed we derive, or the safflower seed we use, is a high oleic fatty acid content, which does have very nice properties in the skin, and it does have a lot of similarities with the sunflower.
Okay. Well, that's good. So if we could talk about applications for formulations, what are the types of ingredients that a formulator that maybe they're using right now, but this technology could replace that?
Yeah, great question. So what we found in the early days is when we isolated the oleosome from seed, it was a very nice, viscous, cream-like ingredient. So we found that it really had a lot of nice properties in and itself as a raw material. It almost looked like a finished body cream coming out of the seed. So this got us thinking, you know, was this a emulsion-type technology that could be used as an emulsifier of other oils that you included in your cosmetic formulations? So the first study we looked at is what was the HLB rating of this particular emulsifier, and we were quite encouraged to see that it was one of the most broadest HLB emulsifiers on the market today. The HLB is of the range of 5 to 15, which basically means that you can incorporate and emulsify a wide variety of other oils into your formulation using oleosomes. You don't need to have two or three or four emulsifiers in your formula to stabilize your emulsion.
Mm-hmm.
So to your question around what ingredients it can replace, this technology can be used as your primary sole emulsifier in your formula. So you can replace everything from synthetic emulsifiers like the PEGs, the stearates, the stearates type emulsifiers, all the way to the naturally modified emulsifiers like glycerol stearate. So I think what people really enjoy with this product is its simplicity and the fact that you can make really cosmetically elegant products with fewer ingredients. And just to add to Tony's point, we've seen so much momentum in the industry in terms of consumer awareness and demand for more natural-based products that Hydrasia is such a nice fit to replace a lot of the chemical products that cause some concern in the market. So
there is definitely a movement that way, and I know some of the big retailers here in the United States, Walmart and Target, they're really pushing sustainability programs, and renewable ingredients like the one we're discussing here are certainly favored in those kinds of environments.
Yeah, and I think what we're encouraged by and what our customers enjoy is that this is truly a 100% natural emulsifying system. So we do not chemically modify this ingredient in any way as every other emulsifier is derived. This is from plants, from seeds, from Mother Nature, and used in cosmetic ingredients as is. Not only in cosmetic formulations, not only is it a good emulsifier, it does also have very good skin benefits associated with it. We talk commonly about something called a difference you can feel. And we really show this in an alcohol hand sanitizer where you have a very drying environment in 60 to 65% alcohol, if you were to add even 2% of the hydrasia oleosomes in that formula, you can feel the difference. You can literally feel a moisturized effect on the skin, even in a very drying circumstance like an alcohol sanitizer. We use that to demonstrate the feel benefits in every scenario, whether that be a lotion, a cream, or a body wash. So it is really, it's emulsification abilities that people enjoy, but also it's feel benefits on the skin.
Well, it sounds interesting. Now, I'm curious about the range of products you can make. Is this something that you could, say, use to create a water and oil emulsion, for example?
We don't have a lot of experience with that, Perry, but we do have a lot of experience with sunscreen formulations, whether that be mineral or traditional sunscreens, using it as an emulsifier and a moisturizing ingredient in those particular products. We have we've developed formulations in hair care and cleansers, as well as all kinds of different personal care products, color cosmetics as well. So definitely it does span the gamut of cosmetic applications.
Right. It sounds pretty versatile. Now, I'm curious now, with any new technology, the reason old technologies stay around is because chemists figure out how to work with them. What are some of the challenges that a chemist is going to have with this technology that, say, they don't have right now with standard technologies?
Yeah, so the oleosome system, being a biological structure which incorporates protein, oil, and phospholipids, there are certain things you have to keep in mind as you formulate with it. Typical cosmetic emulsions are created in hot process procedures whereby, you heat at a very, very high temperature and you homogenize for, extended periods of time. The oleosome technology does not require that type of procedure. So because you're dealing with a protein system, you really don't want to go over 55 to 60 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. It does tolerate 80 degrees Celsius for limited periods of time, but you really want to keep it more of a modified hot process procedure. Further, you also want to make sure that your shear is fairly low when it's in its concentrated form, but when you add the aqueous phase to your emulsion, you are able to homogenize. So it is, for being a natural system direct from seeds, it is still quite robust. It does require a little bit of upfront research, but I think there is a lot to be gained from the technology. You can also go entirely cold process with this product. So we have customers and chemists who are developing 100% sustainable cold process emulsions whereby they just produce everything at room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point earlier, Perry, about sustainability and retailers, that is the ultimate sustainability, is if you can create a natural formula entirely cold process.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting, although ingredients like acetyl alcohol might be a little harder to incorporate in if you can't raise it to the melting point of those ingredients.
So you actually can incorporate hot melters like butters and waxes and acetyl alcohol, and it's just a procedure variation whereby you actually melt the acetyl alcohol in a separate phase,
mm-hmm.
and then you add it to your oleosome phase, which is already pre-warmed to about 55-60°C.
Okay.
So we do have a lot of formulas in our formulary that showcase that, and our technical team can help formulators with that particular application.
Yes, and to Tony's point, we do have an internal chemist formulation team that are happy to work with any company to help support a formulation and work together to find solutions.
Well, that's great. That's very handy, especially with a new technology. One of the concerns I know people would have is about stability. Do you need to use, say, a suspending agent like you typically have to with an emulsion? And what kind of stability could we expect out of these formulas?
Yeah, so that's one thing you have to keep in mind with the oleosome technology is it doesn't build sufficient viscosity in and itself. You'll get the viscosity of a skim milk if you just use the oleosome on its own. So Yeah, you will need to use external thickening systems along with the oleosomes to get the viscosity up to a lotion and cream consistency. We have a lot of experience with things like carrageenan, guar gum, xanthan gum, as well as the clays, the bentonites, and things like that. So, yeah, you do have to add some external thickeners, but we have yet to find any real incompatibilities in the thickening department with oleosomes.
Well, that's great. And how about a pH range? Is this something that's sensitive to pH?
So the pH range that it can tolerate is pH 3.5 to 9. You can make everything. Yeah, you make everything from a low pH exfoliant up to a pet shampoo, which is the more the alkaline pH range. So it's quite versatile.
Yeah, and it sounds like, I guess if you're going all the way up to like a hair relaxer, that might be a little more challenging, but those are challenging anyway. Now, do you have any kind of new claims or studies that you're sharing with chemists?
Yeah, so we've recently focused a lot of our efforts on hair care. So we do have quite a few large customers who have already taken our technology into the hair care applications. So we felt it was due time to look and develop some nice claims around the benefits in hair care. So we recently completed a half-head study in an external clinical lab where they actually placed a formula with 5% hydrasia on one side of the head and then a formula without the hydrasia on the other side of the head. And what they found was a statistically significant improvement in hair body and a very strong trend to improvement in dry feel, dry comb, and a reduction in static. So these are some real nice attributes that chemists are looking for in hair care, and this can be done with oleosome technology.
Yeah, very interesting. So it sounds pretty versatile.
Yeah, absolutely. We have over 350 to 400 products in the market today all around the world, ranging from wipe applications to color cosmetics, to creams, to cleansers. So chemists and companies have found that it does do a lot of different things.
Excellent. Do you have any thoughts on maybe expanding the type of oils that you're looking at in the future?
Yeah, I think we are. We would like to look at other crops where we can harness the oleosomes and provide different benefits. We do have another crop in the market. It's actually an almond oleosome using an almond nut, which is more of a higher-end or prestige oleosome. But, yeah, there's definitely thoughts about not only isolating other oleosome crops, but also using oleosome as a carrier for actives and actually as a delivery system for oil-soluble actives like fragrances, essential oils, and vitamins. And we do have some research ongoing with some universities looking into that attribute as well.
Well, it sounds very interesting. It's really one of the only, I guess I would say, unchemically modified natural emulsifiers that I've ever discovered. And so I thank you guys for coming on and talking about it. It was Todd Zelke and Tony Abood from Botanico. Thanks so much for coming on and talking about the oleosome technology.
Perry, we really appreciate the time today, the time to chat about hydrasia. And if any of your listeners have any questions or would like to contact us, they can feel free to reach us at www.botanico.ca. We're on the web, and again, we have a formulation team here ready to support any questions or needs that your viewers or listeners may have. So we really do appreciate the time.
And thank you so much. I'll be sure to include a link in the show notes.
Well, that's all the time we have for the show today. It's a big week for cosmetic chemists as the annual SCC Scientific Seminar is taking place in New York. I'll be there and we'll be giving a presentation on hair care on Thursday morning, December 11th. The annual meeting is a great time to meet cosmetic chemists from around the world. You can learn about new technologies and techniques and tests, and it's an exciting, excellent opportunity to get new ideas. I really enjoy going. It reignites my interest in the subject, you know, which is great. And, of course, there's also all the fun socializing. As always, remember to join the forum and talk about today's show, Cosmetic Science, or any questions that you might have. We have a very active Cosmetic Science forum, and it's a great place to learn and participate in discussions about formulating and cosmetic science. To go there, it's free to join. It's chemistscorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. You can also follow us on Twitter, that's Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook, of course. If we get more likes on Facebook, I promise I'll start publishing more information there. Just, I forget. So, that's all I got. I am Perry Romanowski, and thanks for listening. Now, go make a difference.